We're going to continue the stories that fall after the Easter story. And so this is one, again, that we're all familiar with. It's the Emmaus Road story. Now, that's a really long set of verses. It runs from verse 13 all the way to 32. So I'm going to edit out the middle part and just kind of give a recap of what happens there. But we'll start with 13 through 16. I'll tell you kind of what happens in the story, and then we'll continue on with 28 through 32. And this is from Luke chapter 24. Hear now these words. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all of these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, I'm going to just kind of fill in the gap what happens next. They tell them everything about Jesus and what has happened, about the cross, about how they, as they put it, had hoped that something good was going to happen. And he walks them through the scriptures while they're talking, and he's connecting all the dots of scripture for them. And even as he does that, all that teaching, they still don't recognize him. And then we'll go back and continue the text. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going to go on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And when they did, he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" Maybe I have blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. Once again, I'm going to not have a second reading just because our first one was so long, but I am going to ask Joel if he would provide another song for us.
Certainly.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This is a song I wrote called "All Together We Will Be." There's a feeling so many people have inside. It's getting darker than we wanna hide. And it's the love between us all. It has no limits that don't go wrong. All together we will be. And people listen really hard. It works to nourish every heart. Working together at one, our heart defines hell. Working at one, we find our self. All together we will be. And in hand we turn. All together we will be, and happy we will be.
Thank you, Joe, very much.
My message today is entitled, Stay With Us. So two people in our story are walking away. And I don't mean that they're taking a nice reflective stroll. They are leaving. Leaving Jerusalem, leaving hope behind, leaving the version of the future that they had bet everything that they had on behind. Because the dream had died. Publicly, violently, unambiguously. And now they're doing what people do when life falls apart. They're talking about it. They're walking down this road, replaying it, trying to make sense of something that refuses to make sense. They're not walking with any sense of direction. They're walking in confusion. And they're not proclaiming certainty. They're processing disappointment. And right there, right in that mess, Jesus shows up. And they don't recognize him. And that detail should actually sort of mess with us more than it usually does, because it means, for us, it means that you can be walking with the sacred and not know it. You can be in the middle of something meaningful, something transformative, something alive with possibility, and completely miss it. You can be surrounded by resurrection and still feel like everything is over. Luke even says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Which raises a question we're sitting with. What keeps us from seeing what's right in front of us? Now, I think here's when the story starts to get interesting. Jesus starts teaching. Scripture, prophets, the whole theological deep dive is kind of like Bible study to end all Bible studies with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And still, nothing. No recognition, no aha moment, no sudden clarity. And let's be honest about what that means. It means that getting the theology right didn't do it for them. Understanding the text didn't do it for them. Having Jesus explain everything to them didn't do it. And if that doesn't challenge us to change the way a lot of us were taught faith works, I don't know what will. So if you're up for participating, I want you to turn to someone near you and take about 30 seconds each and share one place in your life right now where you feel that it's uncertain or unresolved. Now, don't try to fix it for anybody. Don't try to offer anybody advice. Don't, hey, here's what you should do. Just listen. Share with someone else that one thing, something that feels uncertain or unresolved in your life. I'm going to give you 1 minute to do that. It's been a minute, so let's wrap up our conversation. Remember, no fixing anything for anybody right now. We do that after, so we're trying to do that out. So, all right, so then they then get to the village, and Jesus sort of starts acting like he's just going to keep on going, and this is sort of the moment. They couldn't let him keep walking. They could say, you know, nice conversation, thanks for the theology lesson, see you later. But they don't. They say, stay with us. That's it right there. Stay with us. That's the turning point. It's not the belief. It's not the certainty. It's not the understanding of the scriptures. It's an invitation. Stay with us. They invite a stranger in. They make space at the table for the stranger. They choose connection before they even have any kind of clarity at all. And that's when everything shifts. They sit down. Bread is placed on the table. Jesus takes it and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to them. And suddenly they see. Not during the explanation, during the actual experience. Not when everything made sense, just when they shared a meal together. Which tells you something about where we've been looking. Because a lot of us were taught to look for the sacred in right answers, particularly if we're Presbyterian, in the right beliefs, in the right interpretations of Scripture. But the story says something very different. The story says that the sacred shows up in shared spaces, at tables and relationships and ordinary moments that don't look like much until all of a sudden they look like a lot. And then, just as quickly as they recognized him, he's gone. Because the point of this story, the point of the story was never about getting a hold on to Jesus. The point was learning how to see again. Later they say, weren't our hearts burning within us? And you know, we have turned that into a big, emotional, really mystical kind of thing in the church. But I think it's really just hindsight. It's them realizing, you know, something was happening back there. We just didn't catch it. That's how it works most of the time, actually. You don't recognize the moment while you're in it. You recognize it later when you look back and you realize that something then shifted. So, this story isn't just about resurrection as an event. It's about resurrection as a way of seeing, a way of noticing, a way of being present to what is already happening around you. Because look at where recognition actually happens in the story. Not the temple, not in the sermon, not in a moment of certainty, but in a house, at a table with food. That they didn't invite Jesus in because they had it all figured out. They invited Jesus in because they didn't have it all figured out. Stay with us because it's evening. And that translation really ultimately is just basically saying, we don't want to be alone tonight. And that's when everything changes. Not in strength, but rather it changes in need. If you're only looking for the sacred when you feel confident, you're probably not going to find it. If you're only looking for the sacred when things make total sense, you're probably not going to find it. If you're only looking for the sacred in places where everything feels settled and certain, well, you're probably not going to find it. Because the sacred tends to show up in the middle of conversations where nobody has the answers. In a walk where you're just trying to hold it together. In a moment where you say, I don't understand any of this. But I don't want to go through it alone. And maybe most challenging of all, the sacred shows up in strangers. They didn't recognize Jesus because they weren't looking for him there. They were looking backwards at what had been lost, not outward, at what was right there with them. And you know, that still happens all the time. We look for the sacred in certainty, in agreement, in people who already see the world the way that we see the world. And meanwhile, it's just sitting right across from us, walking beside us, waiting for an invitation. So, here's, you know, ultimately the movement of this story. They walk away from despair. They are joined in confusion. They invite a stranger. They share a table. And then they recognize something sacred. And so then they turn around. They go back. Back to the same world, same politics, same systems, same pain. Nothing out there has changed, but they have. They've changed. They've experienced the sacred. Because once you learn to see the sacred in ordinary moments, you really can't unsee it anymore. Second chance to share a little bit with each other. I want you to turn back to the same person you just spoke to. This time, each of you share this. Where have you experienced something small, ordinary, maybe even easy to overlook in this past week that might have been more than it seemed? Where have you experienced something small, easy, ordinary, that ultimately may have been more than it actually seemed? A conversation, a meal, a moment of unexpected connection with a stranger, maybe. Just name it. There's no need to do anything more than that. I'm going to give you a minute to do that. So go right ahead, please. Okay, that's the minutes, you know, after like your conversations.
It's not like that. I was talking to them. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so here is the quiet twist in the story. At the table, Jesus becomes host, even though he's really a guest at the house. Which means every moment of shared humanity holds more possibilities than we usually think. Every meal, every conversation, probably discovered some as we were talking here. Every time you choose connection over isolation. See, that's where resurrection lives now. Not locked in the past. Not waiting somewhere out there. Right here and then now. And in ordinary, when we take the time to recognize it. So the question isn't, do you believe in the resurrection? The question is, do you recognize it? Not do you believe in it. Do you recognize it when it's sitting right across from you? When it shows up in the middle of a conversation that you didn't plan, with a person that you didn't expect, at a table that you almost didn't even sit down at. And maybe the most important question of all, and we'll finish with this. When it quietly says, without any pressure, without any force, without any certainty, when the sacred says, will you let me stay? What will you do? Can we ask you for another song?
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I thought I'd change things up and do a church hymn.
All right.
Feel free. Please sing along if you know the words. This is In the Garden. I walk in the garden alone. All I do is still all the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God
as close as anyone to me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy he shares is everywhere, but others have also known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me and he talks. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy he shares is everywhere. Others have also known. I stay in the garden with him, looking to the banner and we be tall. When he bids me go to the voice of hope, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy he shares is everywhere. Have also known, and the joy
he shares is carried there. Others have also known. Thank you again. Thank you very much. We come to a point where we share a prayer, a reflection, a moment of meditation. Let's bow our heads together. We have walked our own Emmaus roads. We have carried conversations heavy with confusion, stories that did not turn out the way we hoped, questions that never quite found the answers. And still, something kept walking with us, not always recognized, not always named, but present. May we be reminded that we do not have to understand everything to be part of something sacred. May we be moved to make space at the table before we have everything figured out. To choose connection over certainty, presence over perfection, love over being right. When we are tempted to rush past the ordinary, may we learn to slow down. When we are tempted to close ourselves off, may we learn to open up. When we are tempted to believe that nothing meaningful is happening, may we learn to see again. May we recognize that the sacred still shows up in sharing meals, in honest conversation, in strangers who become companions, and when the most important moment comes quiet. Help us see the unexpected, the things that are easy to miss. May we have the courage to say, stay with us. And may we become people who help others see that they have never been walking alone. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk with each other in harmony and walk in harmony with each other in creation, recognizing that you are one, and may you know love and happiness for all of your life. May your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet. Do you have a closing song for us?
I do, Mark.
Thank you.
Please, if you know this song, sing out with me for freedom. Justice, freedom, and love.
Oh.
Thank you.